everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is the midweek edition. It's Wednesday, the 5th of December, 2012. We are live streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com and posting the program every day to buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and there's a show link to the Buckmaster Show at gvnews.com. That's the homepage for the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. And we are also on the homepage of Blog for Arizona. That's blogforarizona.com. We'll launch this midweek edition of the show with Terry Bracey, the Buckmaster contributor from the nation's capital, at about 20 minutes past the hour. Rick Myers joins us. Mr. Myers, chair of the Arizona Board of Regents. He was recently named 2012 Man of the Year by the Greater Tucson Leadership and Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. 30 minutes past the hour, a huge honor for a UA professor who has been named Arizona's top professor by the Carnegie Foundation. Then we close out the show talking nutrition and health with Jack Chalom, the nutrition reporter. We encourage you to join the conversation 790-2040, 790-2040, or you can post a question to the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Well, we are now less than 4 weeks from going over the so-called fiscal cliff and opening the door to perhaps another recession. Joining us now to discuss some of the key players in the negotiations is Terry Bracey, the Buckmaster Show contributor on governmental affairs. Terry continues to enjoy a 40-year career in Washington, where he has served under three presidents of both parties in assignments ranging from Assistant Secretary of Transportation to the founding chair of the Tucson-based Udall Foundation. His firm, Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, has represented Tucson for 30 years, and Terry is on the Buckmaster Show live line from the nation's capital. Terry, how are you today?
Wonderful, Bill. Ought to be out playing golf again. I guess there isn't global warming, but why is it 65 degrees in Washington in December?
And we have had the fourth warmest November ever here with temperatures in the 80s during the November, and December it looks like it's going to be another very warm one. And, of course, things heating up in Washington. Before you tell us a little bit about some of the inside players, you do believe there will be a deal. Is that correct?
I do. You know, when you look at the situation, the Republicans are not playing with a very strong hand. We've had an election now. I mean, it was pretty clear to me that one of the reasons, main reasons, the Republicans did not want to do business earlier was that, you know, quite logically, they did not want the president to be reelected, and they were dedicated to that task. Well, it failed. He was reelected, and I think now the principal negative factor has been removed. And what we have lying in front of us are some matters of ideology which can be solved, and, you know, real pressure from all over the country to get this job done. So, you know, politicians don't exist in office when they continually resist the will of the public. And I think here the public has made it pretty clear.
Terry, of course, it's a collection of human beings behind all of these negotiations with all of their abilities and ambitions and, of course, careers hanging perhaps in the balance. Give us a quick overview. There's really, of course, three players, the administration, the Republicans, and the Democrats. Let's begin with the Obama administration. Tell us a little bit about the team that is involved.
Well, there are really three key people. The lead is the Treasury Secretary, Timothy Geithner, who, by all measures of humanity, is quite a genius. He speaks Japanese. He speaks Chinese. His father worked for the Ford Foundation, and he lived all over the world, almost everywhere but the United States, a lot of years in Africa. Had a very unusual upbringing. Had an early and very successful career in government, both with the Republican and Democratic parties, and ended up at a very young age being the head of the Federal Bank of New York, and as such, head of the Open Market Committee for the Fed. So he has had really fundamental assignments in the U.S. economy since he was in his early 30s. He's quite a brilliant guy. Let me move on to the chief of staff, Jack Lew, who is also a very interesting guy, Harvard, Georgetown, Ivy League, but grew up a very modest means in the Bronx in New York, and is a conservative Jewish faith, very dedicated in his beliefs, and the Republicans believe a roadblock to their success. And as a result, the president has slipped into the mix, probably the most interesting of them all, of a young fellow in his 40s named Rob Neighbors, who I got to know when he was on Capitol Hill working on the Appropriations Committee staff and helping the Udall Foundation get some appropriations. But Neighbors has made his way around. He was the first African-American to serve as staff director of the House Appropriations Committee. He's had several major roles at the Office of Management and Budget, including the deputy director. He now heads congressional affairs in the White House. He is a very key player. Went to Notre Dame, Catholic, went to Notre Dame and the University of North Carolina.
Then, of course, on the Republican side, I guess there are four key Republicans, correct?
Yeah, at least you've got Mitch McConnell, who is not much heard from, but who is one of the most important players. He's the minority leader of the Senate, a brilliant guy, one of the best day-to-day strategists on Capitol Hill. He frustrates the Democrats constantly. McConnell is a homegrown product, went to school in Kentucky, and came to work on Capitol Hill as a staff person for two different Republican senators, and then eventually went back home in 1984 and himself ran and won a Senate seat, beating an incumbent, Dee Huddleston. He is a battle-hardened, tough negotiator and a master of the Senate rules. Then you have, of course, the Speaker, Boehner, who is an absolutely charming guy, grew up very modest circumstances in Ohio. Father owned a bar. That's where the Speaker worked as a kid. And he is struggling in this process not only to get a solution for the country and his party, but also to retain his speakership, which is constantly being challenged from the right and led by a guy named Eric Cantor, who is yet another force on the Hill, emerging force, a guy just turned 50, I think. He is a congressman from Richmond, Virginia, a very wealthy guy who grew up in those circumstances and has attached himself to the Tea Party part of the Republican Conference and seems to be their candidate for Speaker. So the Speaker, Mr. Boehner, has to be concerned both about getting the job done and not losing his job on the way.
Representative Tom Cole of Oklahoma is an interesting guy, Native American.
He really is an interesting guy. Tom was Congressman Cole was actually a political consultant before he got into elective politics himself. He's from Oklahoma. He's a Native American. And he is one of the outliers in the Republican Party right now. Congressman Cole has already agreed to vote for a tax on the wealthiest 2%, which kind of goes against the grain of where the Speaker is in the negotiating process, although you think you'll get there. But he's trying to get a deal done right away, and he's probably running ahead of his leadership. Very interesting guy, worth watching. And, of course, you've got the Republicans' vice presidential candidate, Paul Ryan, who is also the chair of the Budget Committee and has assembled a rather famous Ryan budget, which was the subject of much conversation during the presidential race. He seems to have retained pretty much his stature, maybe not where he was, but he seems to be a pretty effective member of the Republican Conference. That's basically their team.
Terry, we're quickly running out of time, and the Democrats, of course, we know Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, but perhaps some of the behind-the-scene
people.
Well, the
two new big players to watch are Senator Patty Murray of Washington State, who's the best negotiator in the Senate, and much has been turned over to her and Chris Van Hollen of Maryland in the House, who holds kind of a similar position to Patty Murray. Van Hollen and Murray are the new Democrats to watch. They will be in the middle of the deal.
So, Terry, even though we keep hearing in the news today that no new talks are scheduled and things are at an impasse, you expect behind the scenes things are moving.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I think they've been talking since before the election. And I think, you know, we always have a lot of drama around here. But I think we'll come to some conclusion before the end of the year. If not, the Republicans really face a much worse fate potentially in the next Congress. You know, they lose seats in the Senate. They lose 8 seats in the House. And I think that the better judgment on the part of the GOP is to make a deal now with the president.
Terry Bracey, always a pleasure. Thank you for your insights and coming on this program every month. We very much appreciate it that you're part of our team, Terry. Thank you very much.
Bill, I appreciate it, and I love your show.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Terry Bracey with us from the nation's capital on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Up next, Rick Myers, recently named Man of the Year. He's also a very busy man, looking out for Arizona's university system as the chair of the Arizona Board of Regents. This is the Buckmaster Show. Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Life on Earth begins with water. The plants that sustain us and biodiversity that surrounds us. At UA Biosphere 2, water is big science. From our tropical rainforest and million-gallon ocean to the mountain slopes of LEO, our new landscape evolution observatory. By recreating the natural world on such an immense scale, LEO aims to reveal better ways to understand and manage global water resources. Come see how Biosphere 2 is being used to model climate science,
test smart technology, and develop new environmental strategies that can help build a stronger 21st century community. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, where innovation lives, just north of Tucson, America's science city. Explore today. More information at b2science.org.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Coming up now on 1221 on the Buckmaster Show, where support comes from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Universities and state agencies in Arizona are seeking at least $500 million in new spending now that the state's economy is recovering. We're going to talk about that now with Rick Myers, who joins us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Mr. Myers, the chair of the Board of Regents, which is charged with overseeing the state's university system. Rick Myers, recently named Man of the Year by the Greater Tucson Leadership and the Tucson Metro Chamber. Rick, how are you today, and congratulations.
Well, Bill, thank you. It's great to be with you today.
I mean, 10 years ago, you retired as vice president and general manager of IBM in Tucson, and I wonder, when do you ever have time to sleep?
Well, I've gotten to work with some really great people over the last 10 years.
I mean, you have really given to this community. Member of the Tucson Airport Authority, co-chair of Citizens Committee for the RTA, current member, past chair of Southern Arizona Leadership Council. You've been involved with United Way, on and on, and now, of course, the Board of Regents. Rick, how does this budget look for the universities coming up here in the legislative session 2013?
Well, the point I'd make up front is our universities are absolutely committed to helping this state realize its potential. We live in a wonderful place, and we want to make it even better. So as we put a budget together for the legislature and the governor to consider, we put items in there that are absolutely important investments to help realize the goals that we all have for the state. To give you a context, the universities over the last 4 years have had about a 40% reduction in funding from the state. That was a little over $400 million of cuts. And we understand that. We accept that because our state's gone through some tough economic times. During that same time, though, we've grown about 22,000 students at our three universities. So we've had less money to spend and a lot more students to educate. And so we put together a couple hundred dollars of items. About $80 million of that was actually increases to the operational budgets of the universities. The other $120 million of that were one-time capital expenditures that would help us build the infrastructure that we need for the future.
So $400 million in cuts, and now the effort will be to perhaps regain about half of that figure with about $203 million budget increase. Is that what I'm hearing from you, Rick?
Well, actually, again, separating the capital, because the capital are one-time items. So we put together about $80 million of what would be operational, which would be equivalent to that $400 million that we were cut. So it would be trying to invest back in our ability to educate the students that we have. So some of that is tied to catching up, if you will, to provide some funding so we have the the people, the professors, and the ability to educate the size of the student population. Some of that's tied to some very specific initiatives like growing the medical school in Phoenix, which is very important to having the doctors we need in the state in the future. So if you go through the items that are on that list, we recognize that we're probably not going to get everything that we're asking for, and that wasn't so much the intent. The intent was to give a set of things that are important so that the legislature, the governor, can see what those needs are, and together we can prioritize how we can best fill them now and how we can fill them in the future.
Arizona Board of Regents Chair Rick Myers is with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about the upcoming legislative session and the Board of Regents, what they are requesting from the state lawmakers. One of the items that kind of jumped out at me, Rick Myers, funding for a study to create a new model of educating veterinarians. Of course, there is not a veterinarian school, I believe, in Arizona. Folks have to either go up to UC Davis in California or to Colorado. Are we thinking of a veterinary, perhaps, training vets here in this state?
Yeah, it's a very interesting concept that our new Dean of Agriculture, Shane Burgess, has brought. It's something that's more prevalent down in Australia, New Zealand, and over in Europe. But rather than us having to build the infrastructure of a large veterinary hospital and training vets kind of to the similar model of the way we train people doctors, the idea is to create an infrastructure that allows us to give people the learning they need in the classroom here at the university, but then work with clinical partners who already exist in the state, get students out there working at actual vet offices where they're gaining the clinical practice knowledge that they need, and create a way for us to grant degrees here in the state, which we haven't had before. So it's a little different model, but it's something that I think is very creative. It's been done other places in the world, and it's something we'd like to study and that we feel we could pull off in Arizona.
Infrastructure really suffered during that period. I sure lived through it in my time over at the University of Arizona. Garbage wasn't picked up on a regular basis. Are you going to try to get things back to a little more tidy on the three campuses?
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's something we're always focused on. We want to create an environment that's safe and an environment that the students, can learn well in because they feel secure and that it's a good environment. At the same time, we have buildings that we haven't done maintenance on for a lot of years, so some of the capital money that I referred to is going back and actually helping us to bring our buildings back up to standards so that they can serve us for another 50 years.
Rick Myers is with us, the chair of the Arizona Board of Regents, and let's see if we have a call for you. Let's see if we can take Rick Grinnell. Go ahead, Rick. You're with Rick Myers.
Sure.
Go ahead, Rick. Rick Grinnell, you're with us on the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah, good afternoon. A couple of quick questions. Number one, with the recent announcement by Resolution Copper to cut 400 jobs and about $150 million a year economic impact to Arizona as a whole, and also the lack of clarity of the potential tax increases and how businesses are going to adjust. Are you talking with the legislators about supporting economic development throughout the region as well as supporting the universities, which we need to do, but without the economic engines, what are we going to do in case we don't live up to those anticipated revenues?
Good question for Rick Myers. Go ahead, Rick.
Rick, thank you for that question. And it's something I alluded to at the beginning. We absolutely have to get the universities being major change agents in developing the economic vitality we need in the state. So when you look at a lot of what we're talking to the governor and the legislature about, it's not just educating the students, which is absolutely important because we need to educate our workforce, but it's also helping us to create the infrastructure that we can support the companies in the state, that we can help create new companies, and we can drive some of that economic vitality. If we, as you say, if we don't make a bigger pie, if we don't generate a stronger economy, then there aren't going to be pieces of that pie to fund all of us that need that support.
And I think Rick also had a comment about Resolution Copper. Did you want to mention, say anything about that, Rick Myers?
Well, I think I took it as a comment just on it's another sign of economic uncertainty in the state. You know, from a mining perspective itself, we have a very strong program here at the University of Arizona, working very closely with our mining partners out there. In fact, a couple of years ago, the Science Foundation gave an $8 million grant to the university that was matched by the mines in the state to help us come up with new and innovative, more efficient ways for the mines to operate and for us in an environmentally good way to get that resource from the state of Arizona that's important to our national security as well as our state's economy.
Rick Myers, thanks a lot for being with us again. Congratulations on your Man of the Year honor.
Well, thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks. With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama plans to hit the road again to push his proposal for raising tax rates on wealthier Americans. Mr. Obama will travel to Detroit on Monday. Republicans, meanwhile, say the White House has not offered the kind of balanced approach that has a chance of clearing either the House or the Senate. Republicans say they're looking to talk specifics with the White House about avoiding the fiscal cliff. Democrats in Congress say the president's preparing to ask Congress for about $50 billion in additional emergency aid for states hard hit by Superstorm Sandy. New York City police have arrested a man in connection with the death of a subway rider who was shoved onto the tracks. On Wall Street, the Dow's up 110 points, the Nasdaq down 15. More details at srnnews.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A University of Arizona distinguished professor of German studies is the recipient of a very important honor. Dr. Albrecht Klassen has been named Arizona's U.S. Professor of the Year for 2012. This is a prize given by the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching. Dr. Klassen was recently interviewed here on the Buckmaster Show about the new book that he edited, titled The Letters of the Swiss Jesuit Missionary Philip Segasser, An Eyewitness of the Settlement of 18th Century Sonora. First of all, congratulations, Professor.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Tell me a little bit about this particular award. What is it given for by the Carnegie Foundation?
The Carnegie Foundation wants to advance education and wants to make sure that the best possible teaching is practiced at the universities. And since 1981, they have promoted this award. And since 1991, professors in Arizona have also won this award. But only about five of professors since 1991 have won this, professors of the University of Arizona. So this is a great, great sign for the advancements of our university and what's really happening at our university as a learner-centered university with a lot of good research, but really focusing on the young people and helping them to achieve their academic goals.
It is curious, though, that as I look over the list, most of the awards from the Carnegie Foundation have gone to our friends up the road at Arizona State University. I'm not quite sure why that is. Certainly we have equal or perhaps many would say better teaching at the University of Arizona. So I'm not quite sure why that is, but the last 2 years have gone to UA professors, so that's a good trend.
Yeah, that's a very good trend, and some of the really best professors I know, like Professor Impey and Professor Canfield, in the last 10, 15 years who won that as well. But it's really a small number, so this is a great sign of the new focus on the University of Arizona. Things are really looking up, I think.
We're talking with Dr. Albrecht Klassen, a University of Arizona Distinguished Professor of German Studies. Why German Studies? Obviously, you're from Germany, but why did that area resonate with you, and why did you even want to get into teaching?
I have always been interested in literature because I think it is a fantastic mirror of the human mind. It provides really fantastic ways of exploring fundamental human issues. And I started with German literature because it was the closest to me, but then I moved into medieval literature because I always want to have a little bit more historical, cultural, philosophical dimension. And so the medieval world then soon enough proved, for me at least, and also now for my students, I think, to be really a fascinating treasure trove of ideas, of philosophical insights, challenges of mental, spiritual, religious kind. And that's what I want to share with them.
With your special expertise in the Middle Ages, the European Middle Ages, some may say, well, that seems dry. Perhaps it's not as important as some other historical eras. It's certainly, those are misconceptions, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, very much so. I mean, people like to say something about the dark Middle Ages, and you see these silly movies. I was just a commentator for a German movie on the German TV last Monday. It was Ken Follett's Gateway to the World, and I had to comment about some of the silly things that they showed, and the dark thing, and the violence, and the persecution of poor women, and stuff like that.
What about the chastity belt?
Yes. Well,
that's actually a trivial question on one of the national quiz shows,
isn't it? That's right. Yeah, I published a book on the medieval chastity belt, or rather the myth of the medieval chastity belt, and I debunked that myth and showed really how much it has always been a male joke, except that since the 19th century, people have taken this more and more seriously. And so it's kind of a huge error in scholarship. It's a myth. And so people really do not understand so much. What I teach then are, for example, courses on medieval answers to modern questions.
Talk a bit about your teaching method. You just recently had your final examinations. You do things a little different in the classroom, don't you?
I would think so, because it doesn't really matter how big or how small the classes are. I work with the students. I walk around. I sit right next to them. I form groups. I make them write. I make them give presentations. We work together. I'm their leader, but really a leader of a team. I give them a team spirit. And only if the weakest link works really well is the entire team working well. So it is really a fascinating and very intensive group experience, which I think students then begin to like as well. They get fired up because they are taken really seriously. And they also see how much passion I have behind what I'm teaching, that I really believe in this. It's not just rote. It is something that I breathe and live. And not just sort of romantic, but in a critical fashion, academic fashion. And I think they really acknowledge that.
Dr. Klassen, how about social media? How is that changing the education process? And do you allow students to, like, tweet in the classroom?
Well, this is a huge problem. We all know how much we are tempted immediately to turn to other media when we are just a little bit tired. So all my students have to sign a pledge that nothing, not one of their electronic gadgets is on during class. That means no one is watching any Facebook or any films, anything. They all have to be focused. They all pledge that they do this. And they really reward me at the end of the semester because they say this was one of the best learning environment they have had. It is quiet. It is focused. People talk to each other. I mean, to me, when I ask them to do group work or something like that, we have intensive discussions. Opinions are exchanged. So this is perfect for learning.
Well, the students seem to like it because you continue to get very high marks, and you do ask the students at the end of the semester to evaluate your performance as well. Is that correct?
We all have to. That is the standard, and I'm very proud, really, to get then these wonderful comments. Actually, last Thursday when I had my last class, and Tuesday we had a final, I got a standing ovation. That was a remarkable thing, a group of about 280 people standing up and applauding. This was very, very unusual.
German is still, of course, a very vital language. Some people may think it's not that relevant, but after all, Germany really is kind of the driver of the European Union, top exporter, but many times people, perhaps when they're thinking of studying a language, they may overlook German.
That's true, because they tend to think that Spanish, which is certainly a very important language, but I think it should not be a foreign language, it should be our second language, But German is really a very, very important language. We have major research coming from the many of my scientist colleagues on campus have very close collaboration with their colleagues in Germany, whether you think of astronomy, whether you think of environmental studies, whether you think of climate control, physics, medicine, and so forth. So there are constant exchanges. We have a huge amount of research money available coming from the German government. I'm actually one of the ambassadors for the German Academic Exchange Service. And so I'm helping as well the graduate students in all kinds of fields to acquire German, to go to Germany and participate in the wonderful, excellent, extraordinary research that is going on there.
What was it like growing up in post-World War II Germany, and when did you know you wanted to be a teacher?
Well, I just grew up in a world which was just normal for me. America was very far away, but we all, of course, dreamed of going to America. So for me, you know, seeing for the first time in 1979 the Statue of Liberty and being in New York, that was just a dream come true. And then finally to see the Grand Canyon, that was in 1980 on a tour here. I had no idea that I would finally move here to Arizona in 1987. And frankly, I could never leave again, because once you're here, this is such a charming and magical place. So I'm very, very happy to be here.
But early on, you knew you wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah, from very early on. I think when I was about 12 or so, I wanted to do literature and was then very dedicated. And so my whole life has been like that.
Dr. Albrecht-Klassen, congratulations to you, named Arizona's U.S. Professor of the Year for 2012, a prize given by the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching. Again, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I want to remind everyone this weekend over in Silver City, downtown Silver City, Saturday, it's the New Mexico Tamale Fiesta, Silver City, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, and of course one of the proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Lots to do in Silver City, a great time of year over there, and there are plenty of great places to stay, including Gila Hot Springs Resort, Bear Creek Cabins, and Silver City KOA. For more, log on to southwestnewmexico.org. Well, eating large amounts of refined sugars and starches can certainly increase your weight, but what about the impact on your liver? We explore that and other nutritional questions with Jack Chalom, the Buckmaster Show contributor on nutrition. Jack Chalom publishes a monthly newsletter, which is titled, appropriately enough, The Nutrition Reporter. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Nice to be back on the show.
It's always a pleasure having you on the show, and it is holiday time. People usually pack on a couple of extra pounds of weight, and probably a lot of that, Jack, has to do with the sugar intake.
Yeah, and it's really sort of nonstop between Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve. And it's the never-ending celebration, at least for about 5 weeks of the year. This study is interesting because it really says a lot about our eating habits. And a group of Finnish researchers put obese men and women on a diet that added 1,000 calories a day, basically sugars and refined starches. And what happened was they gained a tiny bit of weight, but their liver fat increased by 10 times.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is significant because the amount of fat you have in your liver is a major risk factor for type 2 diabetes, even if your weight is normal. And then when it came to go on a weight reduction diet, people more easily lost body weight than the liver fat. Eventually, most of the liver fat came off, but it was a much slower process.
So much harder to lose the really critical liver fat.
Yeah, yeah. And so we're really kind of like, you know, if we're not watching what we eat this time of year, we're doing some serious damage to our livers, not just to our bellies. And there's other research, interestingly enough, that shows that people, you know, when they gain anywhere from 2 to 5 pounds over the holidays, they don't lose it. It just sort of adds on year after year after year. And so it's really important to be mindful of what you eat this time of year. And it doesn't mean you have to be dour and avoid everything.
Pass up every sugar cookie.
Exactly. But you, you know, moderation here is the key. You know, one cookie, not five.
Researchers have found a link between refined carbohydrates and breast cancer. This was another large study, Jack, that you've brought to our attention by researchers from a variety of European nations. And what did they find?
Well, refined carbs increase the risk of some types of breast cancer. This was a study of over 300,000 women, and they were tracked for about 11 and a half years. And the refined carbs, which include white sugar as well, increase the risk of what's called estrogen-negative breast cancer, which is a little more difficult to treat than your typical type of breast cancer.
There was a huge study done in France. So, I mean, there were a lot of, well, you mentioned what, 335,000 women. So
yeah,
it's a huge
yeah.
study. How about the calorie restriction study that's been done?
Well, this is interesting because scientists have been doing calorie restriction experiments since the 1930s on animals. And they found that when you cut calorie intake by about 30%, which is not fun to do, I mean, this is really almost a starvation diet, it extends life expectancy by about 30%. And so this type of experiment is virtually impossible to do with people. So doctors used rhesus monkeys, which are kind of a close biological relative. And finally, the results came in. And the study began in 1987. So it's a long study. And it reduced the risk of cancer and diabetes. The heart disease risk was really unclear. It did not increase life expectancy, and was a very surprising finding.
I would think it would have increased the life expectancy.
I would have, too. And over the years, I've interviewed people who have adopted this diet with the hope of living longer. And it's kind of like the old joke, are you living longer or does it just feel like you're living longer?
Jack Chalom is with us, the nutrition reporter. We talk a lot when Jack comes on our program every month about omega-3s. And the reason we do so, there's always a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and this was another study by a group of Swedish and Finnish researchers. And a lot of people are concerned about high mercury levels in fish, especially salmon. And what they found was that people who consumed a lot of mercury had a higher risk of heart attack, but if they had a lot of omega-3s, basically the fish oils, they had a lower risk of heart attack. And one of the things I learned from my naturopathic physician is that salmon is not a big source of mercury. Shellfish is much worse.
The researchers noted that even a small percentage, 1% increase in omega-3 intake would reduce the risk of heart attack by 7%. That is very, very interesting.
Yeah, and people don't have to take a lot of fish oils. And if they really don't like the taste of fish or if the capsules sort of make them burp, there are now vegetarian sources of both of the key omega-3s, EPA and DHA.
How about royal jelly? A lot of people swear by royal jelly.
You know, these bee supplements like royal jelly and propolis are rich in antioxidants. And this particular study, which was done in Japan, had people taking 300 milligrams of royal jelly or placebos every day for 6 months. And the benefits? more red blood cells, improvements in glucose tolerance, which means a lower risk of diabetes, and better moods.
They felt better.
Yeah. I don't know if the bees felt any better, but the men in the study felt better.
Jack, we're going to have to wrap it up, but it's always a pleasure talking with you. Where can we get a hold of the Nutrition Reporter?
I've got a bunch of free issues up on my website, nutritionreporter.com.
And Jack's also the author of more than 20 books. His latest book continues to sell very well, and that is titled No More Fatigue. Probably the best way to get a hold of that one is Amazon.com.
Amazon.com. And there's actually a link through my website.
Okay, Jack Chalom, always a pleasure to see you. And again, your website address?
NutritionReporter.com.
All right, Jack.
Thank you, Bill.
Have a great holiday season, Jack Chalom. Bottled Water, by the way, Jack is a fantastic photographer as well. Very, very good. Very creative guy. Bottled Water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Culligan Water, folks, it simply tastes better. We like Culligan Water. Coming up this afternoon, the John C. Scott Show. If you haven't heard, John's show has now expanded. He was on from 4 to 5. Now John's show starts at 3 in the afternoon. John C. Scott, 3 to 5 here on KVOI. Then, tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe. That will do it for the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will welcome you back tomorrow. And we'll be talking about buying locally this holiday season. It really can help the local economy if you decide to make a purchase here in Tucson. Stay with us for that tomorrow. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.